right. Good morning. Hey, Mary. How's everybody this morning? Doing good? He's good. He's good. And he, referring to our Lord, our Father, our Lord, our God, our Savior, the one who builds a standard against the flood. How you, brother? Doing good. So it says, the scripture does say, you know, it'll come in as a flood, but the Lord raises a standard against it. And that's what's really been calling out to me it's 2 weeks now. How many think it's just been like a blur?
You mean it still is a blur?
I mean, it's just run in. You don't even know what day it is. You know, you just roll. You just keep going. And you look at what day is it? I don't know what day it is. What day is it? I don't know. Tuesday? No, it's Friday. Friday? And here we are on a Sunday. And praise God for our Sundays, and praise God for everybody coming together. Because this is what's happening. So everybody got power back on right now for us here? Okay. Power's a good thing. It really is a good thing. But, with that power comes comfort. We are really comforted by the electricity, by technology. And when it all goes away, we are really reminded of how fragile, delicate, almost useless we are. You know, almost. I said almost. Because all those things are what keeps us going. To do what? Basically what we want to do. We are so fortunate that we can do about whatever we want to do. But you see, when the power goes out, you're reverted back to what? Medieval times, maybe? Oh, man, my goodness. We don't want to go medieval. But we are reverted back to, say, pioneer days. We are back now not just living in comfort and doing what we want to do. We end up living to do what we have to do. So then you really start seeing things about, man, what do you do for a living? What if somebody asked you 2 weeks ago, what are you doing for a living right now? Well, I had a job. I can't get there. What are we doing? No. You know what were you doing? You were living. What were you doing for a living? Living. And I praise the Lord for that revelation, for an understanding. So what do I do for a living? When did it stop being living? And that's a question that comes up, and then we want to ask ourselves and whatever, because Paul talks about self-examination, daily examine yourself, and with the technology, with the comforts that we get in the world, self-examination is very, very few and in between, because you know what? There's other ways to go and do. We can hide it so well. We can stay so busy or occupied with other things that, man, life has just gone right by. And not only did you not learn to love, you didn't even learn how to live. You stopped living. And with stop living, you stop loving. So here it comes. And what's really been hitting me is this, but he's also said, what's Romans 8:28 say? Can we all quote that right now? Work to what? For? But don't forget that main little part. There's a lot of fours there. For those who do what? Thank you, Andrea. All things work to the good for those who love God. That's been called according to his purpose. Okay. Now, what we have here is not a failure to communicate anymore. I believe he's coming across loud and clear, saying, hey guys, hey kids, stop it. Stop your arguing. Stop your complaining. Stop your selfishness. And start getting along. Playing well with others. Let's get back to really living. Living. So what if I have to take away some of your comforts to get you back to realize it's not about you and your whatever you got going on. It's about you understanding how to live and to love me and one another. And so when you see the Romans 8:28 come in, it's like, man, yeah, everything. But look, the catch is for those who love God. Because if you don't love God, guess what you're not going to keep doing? Right? But you're not going to keep going. You're going to give up. If there's a hope there, guess what you're going to keep doing? You're going to keep going. So I know all things work to the good, but right now, when this flood comes in like this, and when it tears down and it knocks out the power, knocks out all this stuff, buddy, it don't feel good right now. It doesn't look good right now. It's devastation, catastrophic. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So 8:28 comes to mind. There's been so much coming to that. I've heard stories. There's one, I don't see Anthony Logan here right now, but as I talk with Anthony during the week, you know, everybody's coming, and we're taking first, we're coming together to get some showers, maybe some food. What's that needs, right? I need to take a bath. I need something to eat. Guess what happened? Did God provide? Did he make a way? When there is no way. When we see no way. And we say, Yahweh. He goes. What's Malachi say? Hey, you can't outgive me. What?
I couldn't tell you the number of times I prayed, crying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some of those people that I even met a lady at the laundromat. She lost her house. There was somebody complained about having to be at the laundromat. And I said, you don't understand. I said, somebody's lost everything. This woman says, I'm from Lake Lure, wearing a Lake Lure shirt. Lost everything. And I said, this is your example.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't understand that. They were still
right.
Mm-hmm. Over apples and oranges. You know?
Well, they're still in their flesh.
Yeah.
they're in their carnality. They're not grateful. They don't understand. My goodness. And that's what happens when we have this comfort, when we have these things, that the abundance of this stuff. We have so much stuff that we don't even see each other as a human being life form with needs. We don't, because we don't take time to. It's so fast and so going and so, man, but so when something comes, it's like, bam. But so Anthony's like, my goodness, what was it? It was Tuesday night before the storms, and we know that we had all this rain coming through already, right? Started on Monday. It didn't stop raining until what? Saturday? After the storm passed through, I think it was Saturday. And y'all see my play. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But so as I'm talking with Brother Logan, and I already knew what he went through Tuesday night. He was in an automobile accident. On 74, coming back from Charlotte. His car hydroplane lost control, flipped over 115 times. I don't know if that meant him. But I know the car flipped. That was a little from a movie. Yeah, man was having a very bad day. I was in a bad day. My car flipped, but the bus flipped over 100 times. Anyway. Anthony flipped over, and his car was totaled. Storming, totaled. So here I'm talking with him down here. He has no power at home. Eating, showering. But during all that stuff, there came a need. While he was coming, meeting a need, he was able to help fulfill needs. And he looked at me, he says, you know, if that wouldn't have happened to me Tuesday, I wouldn't be here today because I'd be at work. But my car was totaled, so I have no way, transportation to go to my job. I said, well, brother, that looks like a Romans 8:28 to me. He said, huh? I said, yeah. It didn't feel good Tuesday, did it? Sure didn't feel good Wednesday morning. But how you feel now? It wasn't good that day. But he kept going. He kept persevering because he does what? Loves God. And now, if we continue to move forward, we're going to see that whatever that felt like then, it's going to work to what? To the good for those who love him. So now, he was so enriched, he was so excited because, man, his was working. He was grabbing boxes and loading boxes and people coming in, and he was there to help meet a need. And when you, what does Jesus say? You know that it's better to do what? To give than to receive. Why? It's who we are. Yes. We are givers. And the Lord tells us in our scripture, he says to do what? Give. Freely give. For you have freely received. And then once that starts functioning, you know what happens in you? It's the living water. The river starts flowing through you. Then you start seeing another revelation of what Jesus was saying at the well. Hey, I have food you know not of. What is that? When you let the river of life flow through you, life comes in abundance. But unless something comes to knock us off our high horse, We won't see the light. We won't see the light of life in each other and want to be part of it. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And another verse that come to me, let's just go to Revelations right quick. Y'all go to Revelations? Let's go to Revelations. Woo! You talking about deep water like we done had some. Hey. Let's go to Revelations 3 right there. Y'all probably know what it is. So as these things come, let me just read this and then I'll go from there. So we're going down. This is the Lord, the message coming to Laodicea. But drop down to 3:19. He said, are y'all there? You ready? He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. So I kind of seen old Miss Helene rolling in here. But what happened, it was the Lord standing and knocking, saying, here I am. Have you forgot about me? I'm knocking. Are you going to open the door? Are you going to turn a blind eye? What are you going to do? So what happens is it's like a volley. And a serve, he puts it in your court so graciously, so lovingly. What you gonna do with it? Come on. When that ball comes, like, let's see, leaving the tennis analogy, you know, when it comes in, what are you gonna do? Watch it go by you? Well, if it's hard and fast enough, it'll probably ace you. But one thing's for sure, you will not return that volley, that serve, unless you make a move. Just like here, when he's standing at the door and knocking, you're going to have to open the door. If not, it's going to pass you by. So what happens here, I don't see a lot of destruction everywhere. I mean, you can and you will if you're looking in a natural eye. But my goodness, what I see was the body of Christ. Even the people who don't even really realize what they're doing. They just know there's something in them saying, I got to help. I got to help. I need to do something. I can't just stand back and watch my community and people, human beings, suffer and be thrown by the wayside. I've seen people stop, you know, hey, put their needs, what they thought were their needs, on the side and come in and start working and distributing food, clothes, whatever the need is, no matter how long it took. Nobody took no thought for food, really, at the time of this working. Nobody taught no for their own clothes, you know. And that's exactly what the Lord tells us to do in Matthew 6. Say, hey, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of this will be added unto you. But he also says, take no thought for food. Take no thoughts for clothes. For the unbelievers do such as that. You know that I will meet your every need. When you stand, don't even ask one, because I already know what the Lord said. I already know what your needs are. Whew. Did he supply some needs in these last few weeks? But you know what? He can't supply a need unless you know you got one. So it's a funny thing how us Americans... Let me just put us in the boat. Live our lives like, man, there's no tomorrow. And take no thought for life. And all our thoughts are on food. All our thoughts are on clothes. Stuff. That's what our thoughts are on. You know how many times I've prayed for people that really didn't have a home or anything? But you know what? They didn't pray, "Did I went long? Did I know the Lord?" They didn't want that prayer. You know what their prayer? They want, "Pray that I can get me a place to live. Pray that I can do this and I can do that." Back your bus up. Why do you even want a place to live? You can't manage it. Because if you could have managed it, you wouldn't be where you are right now. Oh, that's a hard word. Why are you talking to me this way? Because you know what? I'm going to cut this crap to the side. And I'm going to go straight to the heart of the matter. Because if I don't have the Lord, I have nothing. But if I have the Lord, I have the joy and I have the life. I have the truth. I have everything. So we call out, "Hey, Martha, Mary, what? No, Mary has chosen what is good and it will not be taken away from her." What was that? It's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you're not going to sit at the feet of Jesus unless you understand that he's done something great for you. Not just great. He's done everything for you. And until I figure this out, I will not give him what's owed to him. And you know what's owed to him? Everything, really, you know. But he don't want everything, because we don't even understand everything. He just wants some of that love back. You know? He just wants to be loved too. He really does. Because love doesn't abide alone. And my wife and I were talking this morning, you know, about this thing, you know, called love, you know, and about this gratefulness and these things here. You know why the King James, you know, and when it says over there in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "And here's the greatest of these things is hope, faith." All right, King James uses another word, charity. You know why he uses charity? Because when you give to, don't give to me like I'm charity. Well, that's pride. Get that on out here too. Because when you give to charity, do you expect anything in return? No, it's charity. You give it, you go, "Didn't I do a good job?" That's how it comes. It'll come right in there if you're not careful. And then next thing you saw, "Well, you know, such and such, this family here, man, I gave them everything that we had." Why'd you tell them that? Because now you're prideful. Now you just lost your reward that you was going to have, because now you want somebody else to pat you on the back because you did something good. Man, when did I do these things? When did I do these things? Until the least of these you've done unto me. But the thing is that when you are in love with the Lord and you're doing what you're created to do, you don't even recognize or realize what you're doing. You're just doing it. And please don't thank me for doing what I'm supposed to do, because when I was coming up, I didn't get allowances for doing what I was supposed to do. But yet, in this day and age of our society, I want everybody to recognize that I'm working hard over here. I'm really doing something. No, man. Thank you, brother mine. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Lynn, for what you do. And it's like, "Hey, hubba, thank you, whatever." Because it's like, hey, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. And listen, I'm in my element when it comes to this. My goodness, looks good. I told the whole family, I said, "Y'all know what? It's a man's world. You know where that come from? Well, when you don't have power and you're out there having to cut wood and you have to do all this stuff and you're doing this, you want to go do it? No, that's a man's job." Correct. It's physical. If you walk this life out that God's got here, it's a hard walk on this earth because the earth is broken. And it's going to take a man to do a lot of things. So guess what's going on? I don't even know why I'm going here, but praise God. That's why the masculinity is under attack. That's why you say, a woman, I can do it all. Okay, take the comforts and the technology away, and now you go do what that man does. That's the truth. A woman can take a man's position with the likeness and the technology and the comforts of this world. She can. She can step in there. You know, that's the curse it says over there for a woman, to desire to be in that position. It is. That's her curse, to want to be in that position, because she don't trust him. But when you take away the comforts and the facets of this world that we've built up, that we've come to know, nothing can stop that woman. She can lead and run all she wants to. But when we take that away and it comes down to the physicality, the hardship, eating by the sweat of your brow, then what? I'm not puffing up man right now, but I'm doing is bringing a light to the way things are really designed. Because when you see your man out there working, that wife's going to do what? She's a helpmate. Because guess what she's going to do? She's going to fall in line herself of her job and her nurturing of taking care of the kids and making sure her husband has the food that he needs to have. So why? Because I know if my husband don't do what he's supposed to do, we can't do what we're supposed to do. And then you start getting back in the line of what's going on and how God's designed these things, and then you can start seeing how the world has put deception in us to where we can have whatever we want, whenever we want, and we can live however we want, whenever we want, all this stuff, you know what I mean? But when that's taken away from you, you come back to reality real fast like. And I don't mind a good checkup. We go to a doctor for a checkup. See how good I'm doing. How many gets a good checkup when you go? Most of us like, well, you know. I mean, I was several years ago, I had a hernia, and I was in there. And he's like, well, you got good blood pressure. Okay. You got this? You on any medication? I said, huh? I don't want any medication. How old are you? I said, how old are they? About 45 something. 46. She said, you 40 something years old? You're not on any medication? I said, no, I'm not on any medication. We might, it's a rarity. But see, God's checkup's a little different. He's not out to try to get you on some kind of other thing to thinking you need something else to live on. He's checking you up because the main thing that we need to be checked up on is how we doing on the inside. Are we actually learning to love and learning to really live? And not just in our own, but with each other. These 2 weeks have been phenomenal. Phenomenal. The heart of God has been overflowing. But you know, there's still a weeping going on because you know what? I don't want to have to check you up to get you doing what you're supposed to have been doing anyway. What's happening here at the Vineyard, in my regards, should happen all the time. It should happen all the time. Kick me out. I don't care. Because during all this stuff, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 right quick. Most of y'all probably, as soon as I bring the verses up, y'all know where I'm at, what I'm doing, where it's going. But it's crazy because unless these things come, you know, it come in a form of a hurricane this time. I tell you, on the farm, I don't know how many gallons of water we were surrounded by. Millions, millions of gallons. Because when you can ride for a mile and you're at least a half a mile and you're underwater, everywhere you look, the brown, the mud line on the trees is you 15 to 20 foot above your head, as far as you can see, and you're still riding, and you're in the bottom of a lake. And I said, man, I'm praying for some rain to wash some of this stuff away, so maybe some of the grass can start growing back, because I only got just a little bit of pasture that was on the hill that is still salvageable for the cows to eat on. Hay fields gone. But you know what? Maybe it's time for me to sell the cows. I don't know. So you start seeing what we should be doing in our life when things start coming. And when I've seen this week, I've seen people truly, what they're doing is denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following the Lord's example. That's what I've been seeing. But none of this would come about unless what? Our comfort zone got knocked out the park, didn't it? Well, you call, I mean, like what I'm saying, it's a checkup. Yeah. He's standing at the door knocking.
I like that Sam was like the footprint of God on those roads. Yeah. Places that were destructive because of some of the activity, some of the things that have done on that land, people that are acting out in certain areas that may have needed to be washed out. I believe that he creates as well as he destroys at the same time. I mean,
all things. But if you don't know him and love him, how are you going to follow that plan? You see what I'm saying? It's not just like when I got born again, he didn't tell me. He said, hey, son, I blessed you so much, and you've come to me because I've blessed you so much. No, that wasn't the word he used. He said, you finally come to me because you finally reached your breaking point.
Amen. Yes.
And then right in behind that, he says, hey, thousands and thousands of people ain't come to me through a blessing. They've come through their breaking point. I'm not letting you saddle me unless I'm broke. He says over in Matthew in 12, and it rolls on, he says, I am the rock that's been rejected. Whosoever falls upon the rock will be broken, but whoever the rock falls on will be pulverized. Don't hate me. That's his word. I don't want the rock to fall on me. I want to get the drift. I want to get the hint. I want to open the door. Come on in. Eat with me. Bring life to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that awareness of our limitations and our frailty and our need is a starting point for everything else.
They're the brokenhearted.
It's there. Let's look what it says. Revelation. I keep trying to go there. Oh, y'all need to read that, I guess. It's time to read it. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go 18 through 20 right quick. And it says right here, he says, but now God has established these parts, every one of them, in the body as it has done what? Pleased him. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So there are many parts, yet one body. I seen a lot of functioning parts these last 2 weeks. I call Eric the face man. Just go ahead, bro. Get up there and do what you're doing. Do what you do. Don't bring me into it. No, I'm just kidding. But I know where my part is too. You know? Stay in your own lane, bro. That's fine. But listen, this avenue goes. He said the road of the righteous. That's where it's at. And it's going to be established. And sin can't get on it. Evil can't get on the road of righteousness. Let's read it this morning. Read Proverbs 13. I think it's the last scripture in Proverbs 13. So as we move forward, there's many parts functioning as what? One. But you're not going to start functioning together unless you can do what? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Because I'm telling you what, in that day of what we're walking through right now, it's going to be painful. There's going to be hurt there. There's going to be grievances there. There's going to be lost people everywhere. But when they look, who's going to be there supplying a need? Who's going to be there saying, hey, here it is. Not to say, here's this Bible scripture. You got to do it. No, man. You don't even have to say a word. You just do it. And when they see you functioning as you're supposed to, guess what? They will probably ask you, why are you here? Sometimes they won't, in the devastation of this stuff, they won't even care. They surely don't even care what your name is. They don't care what color you are. They don't care about what you look like. They don't care because what? Actions speak louder than words. Be doers of the words and not hearers only. So now, until something like this happens, we're not going to move. You don't believe it? Even the ones who walked with Jesus Christ on this earth sat still and wouldn't move. Even though he said in Acts 1:8, go in here and you'll receive power. And you'll be a witness unto me to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Guess how many people went? They wasn't leaving Jerusalem. Why? Because that was their home. But you know what, Mary? They experienced some fire power and still didn't move. So if you don't do 1:8, you probably will have to suffer through 8:1. What do you mean? The opposite of Acts 1:8 is Acts 8:1. What happened in Acts 8:1? There come a man named Saul who started killing and coming straight against the church, taking them out of their comfort zone. Guess what happened? Well, they started scattering then. Old Philip took off down the old Gaza Strip. You know, there wasn't any lights back then. He went down an old dusty road, didn't know where he was going. Could you imagine traveling without street lights? Old Philip took off. Then you seen the move of God through the church. And it started spreading around to unbelievers. People had no idea about life. Started seeing life. Because it came to them. Just like what's going on in entire Western North Carolina. I met a guy from Oklahoma up at a disaster relief place in Swannanoa. That place was ravaged. He had a side-by-side on the back of his trailer. He said, I'm here to take stuff to people where trucks and trailers can't go. And he said, they'll have to run me off. I said, bless you, brother. Oh, Oklahoma Sooner. But he's a brother. He might have dropped the F-bomb or something there, too, when talking. But you know what? He's still my brother. So what? Lord ain't got the Holy Spirit ain't got that tongue yet. But it's coming in Jesus' name. But I'm, listen, my ears tingle. Come on. Ain't it like I ain't heard that before? You know what I mean? So we get so sensitive in our feelings that we can see a sin on somebody and that stops us from moving or having association with them. Just because, you know what that's called? That's called a religious spirit. And you ain't learned to love yet. Run me off again. Come on. I've heard it. People pulling up in their airplanes, dropping stuff off. Why are you here? Oh, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I'm going to bring this. Praise God, brother. Thank you so much. See, people don't even know what's working in their life, and yet we're going to cast them out. Okay, well, that ain't a brother. Well, I'm sure he is. This old brother over here might not even be your brother, and you think he's your brother because he's over here doing it, acting and walking in a certain way, but yet he's not being real. You think he's more holy and spiritual than this person over here. It's not about that. It's not about who's more holy. None of you more holy and spiritual than you're supposed to be because none of us has arrived to the fullness of Christ yet. That's why he's given us all different gifts, all different parts, so that we all can come together so that we all can be fulfilled in the unity and the fullness of Christ. And it's your shortcomings and your faults that's going to keep you humble. To where you won't look at your fellow brother or sister in a light that you shouldn't be looking at them in. Have you learned to love? All right, let's finish. Acts 4, 32, 35. I know I had a doorbell already, but I believe the Lord's standing at the door and knocking. Hallelujah. Acts 4, 32 through 35, right fast. Because here we go. Look at this. All things in common. It says, all the believers were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that what he possessed was his own. But to them, all things were in common. With great power, the apostles testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the great grace was on them all. You hear what that just said? Do we understand what an apostle is, right quick? An apostle isn't somebody we're just going to bow down to. An apostle, by legitimate definition, yes, some of them might have administration skills and all this stuff, organizational skills. Yeah, that kind of goes with some of it. But let me tell you what a true apostle is. A true apostle is someone who is sent, period. You can add all other gifts to it if you want to, but you don't miss it if you don't understand that Jesus Christ has sent you into this flood zone to what? Just love on them. Supply need. Don't think what you have is more than what they have, because I'm telling you what, it can come in and wipe everything away and then what you left with? You know what you left with? You're going to be left with what's inside of you, and that's all you're going to be left with. And if that's not enough, you're going to be left behind. But if you know that he is enough and that he's the only thing that's needed, you're going to persevere and your eyes will see all things working to the good. And that's what I've been saying. So look what the rest of it says. It says, so listen, it says, so the great grace was on them. Grace, don't you know about grace? Because if it wasn't for grace, you'd be somewhere else right now. You'd be somewhere else right now. So make sure you have grace on your brothers and your sisters as they're going through what they're going through. Grace must be present upon you. Colossians said, let your words be seasoned with salt, which is grace. Let it be salted with grace. All right, here we go. We're finishing, Randy. Hallelujah, church. Build, hallelujah. And there was no one among them who lacked. For all those who were owners of land and houses sold them and brought income, whatever it was, and placed it at the feet of what? Those who sent, those who've been called to do something. Anybody's been called? Well, I think that's the end of the verse of Romans 8:28. For those being called, for what? A purpose. It's a purpose, y'all. If we don't have a purpose, we're going to squander away. Every one of y'all, right now in the sound of my voice, y'all have a purpose. All right. I remember, as I'm closing, but there's a lady who hit my heart this morning, and she's been gone for 2-3 years now. But I remember I was given the gift to speak in tongues, to pray in tongues. And it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord used to wake me up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It all depends on what he wanted to do with me. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. And it was about 5 o'clock, and he was doing something in me, and he said, go outside and worship me like you're doing right here on your face. And I lived in an apartment complex in a little place called Clover. And they call it Clover was a town with love in the middle because you thought the C off and the R off and it's love. You know what I mean? So God put me there for a reason. And I was sitting there. I went outside and I was standing. I was just standing out there on the porch, the stair step. And I was like, I was in the middle of town, man. And there's like 5 churches I can throw a rock to hit at. But the Lord told me to worship him. And I was out there worshiping him and worshiping him. All of a sudden, I hear a voice.